everybody. Yes! Welcome back to another hot installment of the hottest podcast on the whole internet, Red Wine and Mystery Stories.
According to maybe two people.
Hold on. Who am I?
Let's introduce the podcast and ourselves before we get into the shitstorm that is our lives.
I'm Patrick M. Dunn. Hello.
And I'm Jill Buck. And this is Red Wine and Mystery Stories. Welcome.
Yes, this is where two stupor sleuths indulge and imbibe in some alcohol and just kind of dabble in the mysteries of the universe. And we try to make sense of it. We might not try to make sense of it. We might come up with our own conspiracies. We might try to debunk it. Who knows? Who knows what'll happen?
It's true. It's kind of a roller coaster ride with us, and you never know what's going to happen. That's kind of part of the fun of it. And if you don't enjoy it, fuck off right now.
Yeah. So, all right.
Sometimes, you know, random voices of people who we don't know and have not been alive for several generations of time. And we also go off on tangents quite frequently. Like, 90% of this podcast is tangents about our lives and, like, 80s and 90s pop culture, I feel like, is a safe bet to say, considering both of us pretty much speak fluent 80s and 90s.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about Winona Ryder a lot, or maybe Gina Davis. Shout out to Gina Davis, our gal pal. Or the queen of gal pals, January Jones. Hello, Carlos. We're waiting for your appearance. Come on, tell us about what it's like being Emma Frost on X-Men First Class. A lot of people hate that role, but I love it. I fucking dig it. Dig it if you will.
I really enjoyed it. I gotta say, I did enjoy that.
Yeah, fuck the haters.
She was rather badass. She was rather badass in that.
Yeah. Ice Queen.
You are definitely the January Jones fan of the two of us.
Of the internet, of the world?
Yeah, pretty much. You're like the one that's going to stalk her. cue up picture from like what circa 2012 of her going through the Taco Bell drive-thru that you texted me.
Oh, I knew I was in love with January Jones when a very pregnant, like probably like 7 month pregnant January Jones, fucking 12 p.m. on a fucking hot day in Van Nuys or wherever the fuck she lived. She's out there, she's hungry. Girl just wants a fucking gordita.
She wants a chalupa.
Drop the chalupa. There's like a shot, like a cell phone, like a shitty like 2012 like iPhone 4 grainy ass photo.
It honestly looked like a flip phone photo.
Oh, like a Razor, like a Motorola Razor, like a 2006.
Yes.
And it was like inside the Taco Bell, so you know it was some fucking asshole that worked there.
Or yeah, I mean it could have been a patron, like really.
Oh yeah, like someone like leaning over the counter and taking, because you know sometimes you can kind of like see the drive. Through window, like
yeah, from the counter, yeah.
You're like, holy shit, is that January Jones of X-Men First Class and American Wedding and Mad Men? Click. Hey, TMZ, I got a scoop for you. All right, send this to our email address. It's fucking like hotscoops@tmz.com, and he's fucking attaching the file, and he's doing it from his phone, so it takes like 4 hours to send.
Of course.
His fucking 2G network or whatever the fuck.
I don't think there were any Gs at that point.
Ks? It was just Ks? What's before a G?
F?
I meant in like technical terms.
Yes, I understand, but I don't think we really had the whole G thing going on at that point. Like,
we weren't in the G-funk area yet?
Yeah, we weren't at the G-spot.
Oh, the G-spot stimulator.
We had not yet found the G-spot.
If you are looking for a G-spot, though, please reach out to our sponsor of the podcast, Dildo Jen. She will find you a disco stick.
Dildo Jen.
Or if you have a penis, like she has like a weird like fuck machine.
She has several different toys for boys, as they're called. She does work for Athena's, so they're equal opportunity across the board. They provide for men and women, regardless of what your thing is, they've got something for you.
Yeah, so look for Jen Goulart on Facebook, G-O-U-L-A-R-T.
She does have a specific Facebook group for her Athenas. She also has a separate Facebook account for her Athenas. She's listed as, I think, Jennifer Athenas Goulart, so that you can, like, see all of her specials as they come up. Sorry.
All right, but she's missing out on, like, @DildoJen on Twitter. Just throwing that out there.
I really want her to start a Twitter of @DildoJen. Maybe you can start one for her and just let her take over.
I'll buy the domain. All right. All right, what are we doing tonight, Jill Buck, the Chandler?
I'm sorry. Every time you call me the Chandler, a picture of Chandler Holt pops in my head, and that just makes me giggle. And I am the worst person in the world. I am so sorry, gentlemen. You're wonderful musicians, and I'm sorry to drag your name through this. Anyway, you totally spelled there wrong in part of your notes. I just am looking at that, and it's got a red underline, and it's making me anxious.
Well, fucking correct it, girl. Jesus Christ. I'm not an author. I'm not Patrick. I'm not the author.
No, because that's Kat Halstead is the author.
I know. I don't want to take up her spot. On the...
Right. We're going to have to find an or position for you, because she's the author. You've got me as the Chandler, or Chandler, as it actually is. And we need something for you.
All right, we'll just have to organically think of it, so we'll brainstorm. Maybe we'll have a business meeting after. Bring your Sigourney Weaver from Working Girl blazer, and we'll wrap it out.
Yeah, with the shoulder pads.
Maybe I'll have like a greasy forehead, and I'll wear like a suit that looks like the Bundy couch.
Yes. Do we need to, before we get into what we're talking about today, do we need to get into our like reviews thing, our booze reviews?
Oh yeah. Please give us a hot review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes or however you listen to this. Give us a glowing 5-star review. Drop your name and maybe we'll give you a shout out on the pod. Join our Facebook group. Just go on Facebook and search for Red Wine Mystery Stories. I don't know. Maybe we'll send you a trinket. Maybe we'll send you like a little prize or something. Who knows?
We are thinking of doing some merch though, because of our upcoming hopeful attendance at Alien Con in Baltimore in December or whenever they have it.
Yeah. I want to believe there will be no traffic on the way to Baltimore.
Good luck with that. So,
isn't it like a very trafficy city?
I think so. It's a city. I mean, they're all trafficy. Let's be real.
Should I fly?
I don't know. I don't know what's going to take longer, flight or driving for you. I mean, I will be driving because I'll have my candles with me, so I can't fly with that.
Oh, you can't bring candles on a plane? What?
Well,
does it count as a liquid?
No, it's I'd have to check them, and the amount of weight that the candles would be fucking ridiculous to fly with. So I'm going to just drive because it'll be much more cost effective.
You're going to be driving across the country down 95 in a U-Haul.
I'll be in my Jeep.
Oh, the Jeep is going to be crossing state lines, girl. Oh, yeah. Sounds hot. With the windows down, listening to Meredith Brooks, I'm a Bitch.
Yeah, that could be an actual thing. I mean, really, I do enjoy that song.
Oh, we have totally rocked out to it in your car.
Oh, we have. We have rocked out to some awesome fucking like 90s hits together in the car, especially when I come to visit.
I hate the world today.
You're so good to me, I know, but I can't change. Oh, it's so awesome. It's just like so painful how awesome it is.
Shout out to Meredith Brooks. Call us.
Yeah, pal.
Call us. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
For sure. For sure. So anyway.
Definitely. Come on tour with us. Come on. Open up for us.
So the drunken duo over here, Mystery Nation, we need your help. We definitely need some good reviews. I know there are some, like, 5 of you out there that actually enjoy the podcast. Please leave us some good reviews, because we did have some devastating one stars lately that just...
We got 3.
We did.
And I cried. I stayed up all night crying, girl.
They were people that we have no idea who the fuck they are. So they obviously just, like, looked at the name of the podcast, saw the word mystery, and completely didn't even read the description at all, so didn't have an accurate representation about what we are and what we do, and like just trashed us in their reviews about how shitty we are and how that we're not really talking about mysteries much, and they were very disappointed. It's like, okay, clearly not our target audience, but it was very, for people that don't have the best self-esteem already, it was not the greatest thing in the world. And considering we are trying to be a part of MysteryCon, we already did MysteryCon. We are trying to be a part of AlienCon this year. It would help to have some better reviews, because then we can get some merch going and have that available for people when we do mystery. I keep fucking up with that. Oh my God.
I'm gonna have to hit the edit button a bunch.
I know. So when we do AlienCon, we're hoping to have some actual decent merch. And if we have just like nothing but 1 stars, we're going to get laughed out of the place.
I mean, we're going to get laughed at anyway.
I mean, yeah.
Laugh at us with 5-star reviews. We want like a good golden 5.
We'll be laughed with, but if we're like 1 star and like everybody thinks we're shit, we're going to get laughed at. So we don't want the laughing at, we want the laughing with. So people out there that actually enjoy us, I mean, the scientist did leave us a wonderful review. Thank you, sir. But, you know, our like, actual gal pals that we know, like, hey, Michelle/Nicole, because I always get your name wrong.
Kelly, my sister Kelly, who listens to the podcast and always, like, comments on it, sent write a review.
She does?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh, that's so sweet of her.
So please leave us a 5-star review so we don't have to go on like a Jay and Silent Bob strike back.
Oh, totally.
Like adventure across the country to like beat up our trolls. If we are going to go on a cross country adventure, I would love to run into Shannon Elizabeth and Eliza Dushku. What is it? Fucking Boo Boo Kitty Fuck? Was that her name?
I think it was Boo Boo Kitty Fuck.
Oh, they're doing a new Jay and Silent Bob movie, and Shannon Elizabeth, our gal pal, is in it.
I saw something about that. I didn't read the full article, but I totally did see something about the new, like a new Jay and Silent Bob adventure, and I was very excited. 2005 me is like super stoked about that.
We gotta get into it because we always get yelled at for taking 20 minutes to get into the mystery.
Okay, you go ahead and tell us the mystery.
I'm really excited about this one because this is, all right, this is one that I suggested like at the very start of the podcast. Like we did the Kennedy episode and I was like, we need to do this right away. And you're like, oh yeah, sure, sure. And for some reason it got like kicked under the rug.
I honestly think after we did the Kennedy episode, I think our original plan way back in like what, 2013? I think our original plan was to do this as the second episode and we didn't record again for like 3 years after that first episode. So I think it kind of got forgotten and we did like 3 first episodes and now we're back at this. So yeah.
So it's Brittany, bitch. It's Brittany Murphy, bitch. Yeah, so we're going to talk about the untimely demise of gal pal actress Brittany Murphy. And the after, like, just the weird aftermath that, like, followed her death and all the things that have come out since then that has just, I don't know, piqued our interest, I will say.
Yeah, there was a lot of, like, conspiracy around her death and just, like, question. And, I mean, she was very, very young when she passed away. And it was tragic because she was so influential in a lot of different movies and things like that. Like she had a big part, I feel like, for our generation. She was a big part of our just growing up.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. She was Ty. She was Ty on Clueless.
I know. Ty and Clueless, like that was huge for basically everybody in our generation.
Ty?
That was huge.
Why would I go with Ty?
And then her leading into, yes, she had a lot of other movies and things like that that happened, but also her voice acting with King of the Hill, also a big part of our like growing up and maturing. Like
Luann Platter.
Yeah, Luann Platter. And I saw in your notes something about she also voiced Dale Gribble for the first several episodes or for the first seasons.
Oh, Joseph Gribble. Joseph Gribble. Not Dale Gribble.
Joseph. Okay, that makes way more sense because that's when he was a kid, so he would have had a female voicing him. That, yeah, that makes way more sense.
I was like, Dale Gribble.
Yeah, I was like, wait.
Was a man.
Yeah, I was like,
that was a man's man. Oh, hold on. I was like, if we ever get a fictional character as a guest on this podcast, it's going to be Dale Gribble.
Well, I mean, that would be fitting because he did have his own radio show at one point when he had the like broadcasting equipment in his basement and he was talking conspiracies for 24/7 and then ran out of them. After like 3 days, and I was like,
did he run out of conspiracies or did he run out of Mountain Dew?
He ran out of conspiracies because he was like re-going over things and he's like, oh yeah, we already talked about that. And then he like put on a record because he like didn't know what else to say. And he was like, all right, so here's some easy listening from the Drifters or something stupid. Like,
shout out to Dale Gribble. Like inspiration for the podcast, inspiration for all of us.
I mean, I gotta say, so Jay and I had been watching King of the Hill from the beginning over because it's on Hulu.
Yeah, shout out to Hulu for bringing it back.
We've taken a break because we started back on Futurama yet again. It was time to go back to Futurama. I can't explain it. It's our thing. We just always go back to Futurama. It's a whole thing. So we were watching it over again. That was like our show that we would put on when we were like going to sleep, and we'd usually get like an episode in before we passed out, so we were slowly going through all of it. And just we got to the episode where he had the broadcasting equipment in his basement, and I was like, oh my God, it's me and Patrick. And it was like 24-hour conspiracy theories, and I was just like, oh my God. I was like, it's us. This is the problem.
But it's not a problem. All right. I'm going to reel us back in, girl. I'm going to reel us back in.
Yeah, reel us back into Brittany Murphy.
All right. So if you had the pleasure of being a teen in the mid to late 90s or early 2000s, you were blessed. Yes, you were blessed with the pleasure of witnessing one of the most amazing and honestly underrated actresses of our lifetime, like of our generation. I'm talking about none other than Brittany Murphy, born in Atlanta, Georgia on November 10th, 1977, born to Sharon Kathleen Murphy and Angelo Joseph Bertolotti. We'll say Bertolotti. Sharon, 2 years later, divorced Angelo when Britt was two, as I said, and they moved to Edison, New Jersey. And surprisingly, Angelo was not named as her father on Brittany's first death certificate. Yes, there was more than one. Prior to enrolling at Edison High School, the family moved to Los Angeles in 1991 so that Murphy could pursue an acting career. Ooga. Murphy said her mother never tried to stifle her creativity, and she considered her mother a crucial, yes, a crucial factor in her later success. And hold on, you ready for some Britney voice? Want me to do a Britney voice?
Oh, yeah. Give me a Britney voice, baby.
Hey. Hey, Brittany Murphy. Welcome to 8 Mile Road. I'm acting alongside Eminem and maybe Ashton Kutcher or something. But anyway, when I asked my mom to move to California, she sold everything and moved out here for me. I always believed in me, girl. Right, Jill?
Oh, yeah. Right, Brittany?
Jesus pals for life.
Manger buddies.
Oh, manger pals?
Manger buddies.
Manger.
Yeah, they were the little puppets, and they were all the animals, and they were the manger buddies.
All right. What did I say, Jesus pals?
Jesus pals. Jesus pals.
Murphy's breakthrough role was in her second feature film, the teen comedy Clueless, in 1995, directed by Amy Heckerling, which went to receive cult status. I think it was more than cult status. It's like a fucking...
It's a fucking hit, bitches. I have like...
Modified.
Seriously, I have like the soundtrack on my iPod. I sing along with that shit all the time.
We're the kids in America. Whee!
Yeah. Oh my God, I want to be a supermodel.
Oh yeah, shout out to Jill Sobule. How do you say her name?
Sobule, I think. She also did the original I Kissed a Girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one on my iPod as well.
And we laughed at the world. We had a drink. We had a smoke. Then I took off my overcoat.
Yes! Oh my God! This is why we're friends, because you know all the same shit I do.
Anyway.
It's the entire basis for our friendship, ladies and gentlemen.
Can we talk about some of the roles that Brittany Murphy followed up with on Clueless?
Oh, hell yeah.
This one excites me. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but she followed up this with the role in 1996 Freeway with Reese Witherspoon and Kiefer Sutherland. Have you ever seen this?
I haven't, but I gotta say, I know you have had a whole thing about the plot on it, and I am totally interested in watching this. I gotta track this down now and watch it, because it sounds like a really like decent movie.
You ready for Freeway Corner? You ready to get to Freeway Corner? Oh my God, this movie is amazing.
Oh yeah,
this is a bizarre 1996 crime thriller loosely based on the Little Red Riding Hood fairy tale.
I gotta say, that is really what caught my interest. I was like, loosely based on Little Red Riding Hood? Fuck yes, I'm totally gonna watch this at some point.
Brooke Shields is in this. Michael T. Weiss from NBC's The Pretender is in it too, in a small role.
I can't picture him. I'm sure I know who he is. I just can't picture him because I suck with names.
All right. Anyway, this was,
Sorry.
this is a movie. So following the rest of her mother, Vanessa Lutz, played by Reese Witherspoon, decides to go in search of her estranged grandmother. On the way, she is given a ride by a school counselor, played by Kiefer Sutherland. During the journey, Reese Witherspoon begins to realize that Kiefer is the notorious I-5 killer, like a highway killer, and manages to escape by shooting him several times. Mm-hmm. He is still alive. He was only wounded. And he, like, spends the rest of the movie, like, chasing Reese Witherspoon, like, across the state. And it's fucking, It's a wild fucking movie. Wild.
So I'm guessing you've seen this, right?
Oh, yeah. I've fucking seen this like multiple times.
Oh, my God. How have I not seen this?
I don't know. This is like...
I honestly don't know how I've missed this movie. This seems like something I would just dive into freaking head first, eyes wide open, like no shame, want to be in on this.
So Brittany Murphy is like a smaller-ish, like a co-starring role.
Yeah.
But... she looks just like Ty. Like, she looks exactly... this is, like, Ty era Brittany Murphy. So it's, like...
she looks like herself. Gotcha.
Yeah, it's wild. It's just a fucking wild movie. Like, you have... all right, you gotta go on, like, Amazon and, like, find the DVD or something. Just order it.
Oh, I'm totally gonna find it on Amazon. I have Amazon Prime, so I can probably... like, if it's not available for free, I'm sure I can rent it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
When I'm done dog sitting, I'll probably do that while I'm making candles one of the days while Jay's at work. Because I tend to watch a lot of the movies that I don't think he'll be interested in while he's at work. And I'm, like, making candles and doing laundry and can focus on them.
All right.
So, yeah, that's probably going to be one of them. Just putting it out there.
Anyway, back to Brittany, bitch. In 1999, she landed a supporting role in Girl Interrupted as a troubled psychiatric patient. Yeah, alongside Winona and Angelina. We don't have to say their last names because you know who they are.
Everybody knows who they are. Gal pals.
Yep. Drop Dead. Not Angelina, though. Not Angelina. Not a gal pal.
I mean, I go back and forth with her. Like, there are certain times where I'm like, gal pal, like, depending on what era I'm watching. And then, like, she gets into non-gal pal status and it's sad.
Well, she can suck it. Britney's ghost said she can suck it.
Okay, I'll definitely side with that in the long run.
All right, moving into the 2000s. We know her from Don't Say a Word, Ooga, with Michael Douglas. Oh, good movie. 8 Mile with Eminem, The Devil's Arithmetic. Mm-hmm. Uptown Girls, Just Married with Ashton Kutcher. The Kutcher?
I think I saw that in the theaters. That was actually pretty decent.
Yeah. Little Black Book.
Mm-hmm. With, that had, what's his face from Office Space?
Ron Livingston.
Yeah. He also had a little stint on Sex and the City.
Yeah. Holly Hunter was in this. Rashida Jones and Kathy Bates. And Carly Simon makes a cameo. So, ooga. Ooga.
Right. Ooh.
And, one of my favorite movies that she's been in, the critically acclaimed Sin City.
Oh my God, I love that one. I actually have it on DVD. It's a really good movie.
And this was like, Sin City was the one that like really caught everyone's attention. They're like, wow, like Brittany Murphy's like a good actress. Like we like kind of like dismissed her, but whoa.
She was really good.
However, sadly, on December 20th, 2009, Brittany Murphy's life suddenly ended. At the age of 32 years old, she left planet Earth. You ready? You ready for the facts?
Younger than both of us, actually.
Yeah. So at 8 a.m. on December 20th, the L.A. Fire Department responded to a medical request at the Los Angeles home of Murphy and her husband, Monjack.
Yeah.
Monjack. She had apparently collapsed in a bathroom. Firefighters attempted to resuscitate Murphy on the scene. She was transported to Cedar Sinai, where she died at 10:04 after going into cardiac arrest. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So shortly after her passing, Assistant Chief Coroner, Ed Winter told the AP, "It appears to be natural." An autopsy was performed the day after she died. Her death certificate listed the cause of death as deferred, meaning they weren't quite sure yet. A few months later, on February 4th, 2010, the Los Angeles County Coroner stated that the primary cause of Murphy's death was pneumonia, with secondary factors of iron deficiency anemia and multiple drug intoxication. Whoa. So this is already getting a little dicey. So then a few weeks later, on February 25th in 2010, the coroner released a report stating that Murphy had been taking a range of over-the-counter and prescription meds, with the most likely reason being to treat a cold or respiratory infection. And she had elevated levels of hydrocodone, acetaminophen, methamphetamine, and chlorpheniramine, which I guess are the main components of Vicodin, is what I've been told when I did a little research. They said she probably took a Vicodin.
Mm-hmm.
All of the drugs were legal. They were legal drugs, and the death was ruled to be an accident, but the report observed that possible adverse physiological effects of elevated levels of these medications cannot be discounted, especially in her weakened state. So,
which, going back to her weakened state, that refers to the fact that she had some severe weight loss.
Yes.
Earlier on that had been commented on. And I know there was like rumors going around that she had like a cocaine addiction or something, which she refuted on like interviews. She specifically said, no, I've never tried it in my entire life and everything. And that was when she was like a spokesmodel for Jordache or something, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So she was in a weakened state due to like severe weight loss, like extreme, like quick weight loss, which is always a cause for concern. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're in the public eye or not. You have some drastic weight loss in a quick weight loss, like in a large amount. There's cause for concern. Like, unless you had some weight loss surgery and dropped a bunch of weight really quickly because of it, there's like concern for your health, regardless of if it's concern of you using like, you know, drugs like cocaine or heroin or something like that. There's also concern of like, do you have some kind of major medical issue going on? Are you ill? Do you have a tapeworm or some shit? Like, whatever. So the fact that they specifically said something about she could have been trying to treat a cold or upper respiratory infection, like because of all the drugs in her system, if she was sick for a while and like starting to use heavy medications to try and treat something that wouldn't go away, that could have caused that weight loss. In all honesty, she could have just been sick for a very long time and not eating properly because of it.
So here's the Brittany Murphy lowdown. So yeah, I've dabbled in many interviews over the last few years. Everything I've read, she stands by the fact that she, when she was on Clueless and like her in like the mid 2000s, that she actually weighed approximately the same. It's just that she claims that she grew into her weight. Her face just thinned out. It just, that's the part of like growing up. You kind of like grow into it and you like reshape your body, reshape.
Well, that's totally a thing. That really is a thing. A lot of times, especially between your teens and your like mid 20s, you tend to lose a lot of the like what people call baby fat. So you might have a more rounded face in your early 20s. And then that like slims out and you see more of your like facial definition and you get more toned or whatever as you like naturally age. It's just the way the world works.
And I would like to point out that she was not heavy in Clueless. She was portrayed as being that way. They gave her baggy outfits to wear. And I mean, as you said, she probably still had that like that baby fat, so to say, like that like young kid extra baggage, but
yeah, the rounded face and whatever. It's not actually like, you know, you're not fat. It's just you have like more rounded features because you're still like
developing.
Right. And your hormones are still adjusting. And as that happens, you thin out in certain areas and like fill out in others. You know, in my experience, that meant like growing gigantic boobs.
All right. And
it was not a fun process.
And she also claims that she never dabbled in drugs. She says she never got arrested. She barely drank. She's like, I drank wine and champagne at home sometimes, but I never went out. And if you kind of like look back at like the early 2000s, like club scene, like you see like Lindsay Lohan, you see like Paris Hilton, like Nicole Richie. But like, you don't really see that many like shots of like Brittany Murphy, like commingling with this crew. So she was just kind of like out there. And like, she was like dating like Ashton Kutcher, who was like pretty like low key too for a while.
He was, I mean, I feel like he's still pretty low key. Like he hasn't had, I mean, granted he was married to Demi Moore and shit like that, which made big in the news. But as far as like the club scene, he's always been pretty quiet.
Yeah, he's like a stay at home drunk, I guess, maybe. He just like chills in a pool with his twin brother.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he was, I feel like.
Adada Pizziotti.
I feel like he was just always more into, you know, quieter things. Like he married in, you know, an older woman that he really admired.
And he was like a dad. He was like a father figure.
I think he was just ready to be in that role, in that like father figure role. Like, I think he's just one of those people that matured early on and didn't have that like wild side and club scene. And I think Brittany Murphy was kind of that way too. I mean, she was married and she had been married for a while. At the point when she died, like that's not, you know, a lot of the people that were out like clubbing it up and like Paris Hilton and shit, They weren't married. They were just like being single and they were doing their own thing and being wild about it. And that just wasn't her scene.
Yeah. After Sin City, her like film and TV appearances started to like taper out. Like she still did King of the Hill. She still voiced Luann.
Yeah.
I think she voiced Luann up till the series end.
Yeah.
And she did like a few like indie movies. She didn't do anything that was like a major Hollywood release. She kind of was like, she was trying to like bow out of Hollywood, I think. She met Simon Monjak, and I think he was like completely disassociated with Hollywood. Like I think her previous like boyfriends and flings, they were either it was like Ashton Kutcher was like the big one, and there was like a few producers and like a few like people that were like loosely connected with that lifestyle. But then she met him. He was a little bit older. He was like 10 years older, 8 to 10 years older,
which isn't a big difference in all honesty. No. Like in the grand scheme of things,
she was in her 30s. Yeah, she was in her early 30s,
that's so not a big difference. But I think you're right. I think she met him and like
this is like her ticket out of here,
right? It was like she that was you know, he was kind of part of the life she wanted. She wanted a quieter life. She wanted to be out of the spotlight. She didn't really want to be involved with that anymore. She didn't want the hype. She didn't want all the clubbing and the like going out. She wanted to settle down. She wanted a quieter life. And I mean, didn't her mom like live with them in the same?
Yeah. And like,
which I mean, that's pretty common. I mean, my grandmother lives with my parents and stuff. Like
this clouds to the mystery though.
That's a very good point. But like, I'm just saying like she seems to have like, she seems to have had like that family value of like, hey, this is where I'm putting down roots, so to speak.
You know, she was a part of that Hollywood whirlpool, I guess we'll call it, that whole like circuit. She was in like tabloids, headlines, people always commented on her weight, like how she looked. Mm-hmm. And like no one ever really like commented on like the amazing like roles that she was doing. Like no one ever was like, oh, like, you know what? She was like really great on like Little Black Book. Like because like everything, you know what? Like even these like the shitty like romantic comedies that she like did, she fucking knocked him out of the park. Like her role as Eminem's girlfriend in 8 Mile was like 8 Mile is like a bad movie, but she gave it all. Like she
put her all into everything that she did. And I gotta say, like the whole focus on her weight, that's such a female thing. Like you don't see that with male actors. You see it with female actors. Like there's always a focus on their weight. And I gotta say, if she hadn't like slimmed out and like just filled out the way she did and like lost her baby weight, the comments wouldn't have been like, oh, Brittany Murphy's lost all this weight so quickly. She must be doing drugs. The comments would have been, why is Brittany Murphy so fat? Even though she was a very slender person and not fat at all. Like it's just that it's that whole stigma of being a woman and in the eye of Hollywood, like you're either being commented on how thin you are and there must be something wrong, or you're too fat and there must be something wrong. Like there's no way to, you know, win in that scenario.
It's like Britney Spears got it a lot too.
It's true.
Because you got like thick Britney, you got thin Britney. She shout out to her for like mentioning it in song. She says it in Piece of Me. Yeah.
Yeah. And I got to say, honestly, when they were like, everybody was down on Britney gained weight. She had just had fucking babies. Like
multiple babies.
What the shit? Yeah. Whoa. Like, what is wrong with you? All of a sudden you're holding her to this wicked high standard. Like, she just gave birth to children. Of course she has a thicker waistline. Let her be.
Like, all right, so
I totally get that girl with that. Leave Britney alone. Sorry.
It wasn't a girl. That was a dude. That was Chris Crocker.
Was it?
Who's now a gay porn star.
Wasn't there a girl that did it too?
No, that was Chris Crocker. That was a...
No, I swear. No. You know what? I'm probably thinking... You know what? No, I'm thinking of on South Park, they had a girl that was doing it. Sorry, that's my bad. I was like mixing up the real world and, you know, South Park.
As always.
Sorry.
As always. All right.
As always. All
right, so, unfortunately, we lost Brittany Murphy, but we're going to flash forward a few months later.
Yep.
On May 23rd, 2010, her widower, Simon Monjak, was found dead at the same Hollywood Hills residence that Brittany was found dead at. In July, a few months later, the Los Angeles assistant chief coroner, the same guy, Ed Winner, stated that the cause of his death was acute pneumonia and severe anemia, which are the same two things that were attributed to Brittany Murphy's death. Which is like, did they find each other at like anemia, like anemic anonymous? Like what? Like what the fuck? Like how does this happen?
And especially anemia, that's like pretty severe, especially if it's severe anemia. Okay, that a lot of people are like mildly anemic. If you've ever donated blood, you may find that because they test your iron level. They do that little pinprick of your finger to check your iron level to make sure it's above a certain amount. I think it's, I don't know what the like percentage is, but they put it in the little like machine and it tells you a number. And I think you have to be over 12 to be approved to donate blood because otherwise you're anemic and the like donating blood, it could be a little bit more severe consequences for it. Like there's a higher chance that you're going to pass out basically from donating.
But what is the chances?
Right, like that's what I'm saying. Like
both being anemic and dying of pneumonia related.
That's the thing. It's very sketchy that like acute pneumonia and a severe anemia, the pairing of the two being the cause of death for both people, that points to like some major life and diet issue. Or, you know, something else.
All right, we're going to move into another territory. Shortly thereafter, it was reported that the Los Angeles County Department of Health had once considered toxic mold in their house as a possible cause of the death.
Which is scary.
This was very quickly dismissed by Ed Winter, who stated that there was no indicators that mold was a factor. Initially, Murphy's mother, Sharon, described the reports of mold contributing to the deaths as absurd, and she went on to state that inspecting the home for mold was never requested by the health department. However, a year later, in December 2011, she changed her stance and announcing that toxic mold was indeed what killed her daughter and son-in-law and filed a lawsuit against the attorneys who represented her in an earlier suit against the builders of the home, where her daughter and son-in-law died. So, like, she flip-flopped very, very, like, she was very adamant initially, and then she was like, no, it was definitely mold.
Yeah, which makes you wonder, like, okay, was she being paid off originally and then wasn't getting paid off anymore and all of a sudden changed her story? Or was she, like, adamant that that was not a factor and then something else, like, pointed to foul play and she was like, fuck, I gotta change my story to throw people off the trail?
Well, she very famously went on, like, television. I think it was, like, CNN or something, and she was, like, talking about it. And it was, like, a wild time. The health department was, like, very insistent that, like, toxic mold was, like, not a contributor. They said, like, you know, toxic mold can be, like, it can be a negative factor on health, but, like, very rarely is it deadly. And, like, if it is deadly, it would not, like, kill, like, two people, like, in one house.
Right.
Like,
and it would have to have been, like, severe, like, it would have been blatant that there was toxic mold around. Like, the whole place would have been fucking black mold. And, like, it would have been obvious that it could have been a contributing factor. And so the fact that she all of a sudden came out and was like, no, it was definitely the mold. It's like, what? What are you hiding?
Was Sharon Murphy, because she lives in the same house, was she not affected by this molds?
Like, yeah, and especially she's older, so like just looking at like health indicators and things like that, usually the older, like senior citizens and things like that, their immune systems are usually weaker than people in their prime, say in their 30s, or you know, 30s, 20s to 40s is really your prime
peak,
you know, where yeah, it's your peak. You're usually at top health. You usually have, you know, the most of your immune system is like working properly and everything like that. And then as you become older, your immune system drops off, which is why the flu shot is so important for people that are senior citizens and very young. And then that middle ground, unless you have some type of immunity issue.
Vaccine corner.
Right. Like you're deemed the like not as necessary if there's like a shortage of vaccines because you're more likely to be able to fight it off quickly, just your natural immune system. So why were the two people that were in the right age range for being in the most physical peak for their immune system why were they the two that died? And the person who was like more of a senior and had a higher potential for having a weaker immune system, why is she fine?
That's a good question, Jillian. That's a good question. However,
right?
Do you want to make this pond even foggier? Do you want to foggy up the pond even more?
Oh, you know I love fog.
All right. So it's now a year later. It's now January 2012. All of a sudden, Brittany Murphy's father, Angelo Bertolotti, pops back into the picture out of nowhere. It's been years, like years have gone by.
Mm-hmm.
And he shows back up. He applied to the Superior Court of California requesting that the Los Angeles County Coroner's Office be required to hand over samples of his daughter's hair for independent testing.
Mm-hmm.
The suit was very quickly dismissed on July 19th, 2012, after Bertolotti failed to attend two separate hearings.
Mm-hmm.
So hold on. Then, like sometime after that, in November of 2013, Angelo Bertolotti pops back up again, claimed that a toxicology report showed that deliberate poisoning by heavy metals included antimony and barium were a possible cause of Brittany Murphy's death. So, whoa. So hold on. We went from like pneumonia, anemic, to toxic mold, and now there's heavy metals that have possibly killed Brittany and her husband. What? All right. So after hearing about this like heavy metals claim, Brittany's Murphy's mother, Sharon, popped back up again, rejecting the claim by her daughter's estranged father that poisoning was like, there's no way that this was like a possible claim. Like, this is fucking ridiculous.
That just hits me as suspicious personally.
So I guess the tests that her dad made public, they revealed that higher than normal levels of 10 heavy metals in his daughter's hair, he said, and the lab he used suggested such a result was most likely from third-party poisoning. However, other sources, like I guess people, other sources, I guess just means people on the internet.
Probably.
That benign products such as hair dye or foods could cause a similar buildup. Brittany's dad stuck to his guns. I have a quote. You ready for a quote?
Oh, give me a quote.
I have a feeling, not the Black Eyed Peas feeling, but I have a feeling that there was a definite murder situation here. He said on Good Morning America, it's poison. That girl was poisoned.
Which, I mean, I gotta say, okay, there could be other sources that created that buildup, but I'd like to hear that from an actual, you know, knowledgeable scientific source rather than third party, whatever. Because people on the internet, let's face it, they think they know everything, and most people really are just talking out their ass. Sorry to our fandom for saying that, but it is what it is.
So following this claim, Sharon Murphy, Brittany's mom,
mm-hmm.
Wrote a very, like, she wrote a letter to the Hollywood Reporter that they published. She lashed out at, Bartoletti, saying he showed up only after his daughter saw some success as an actress, and again after her death. She called his claims more of an insult than an insight onto what really happened. She had no choice now but to come forward in the face of inexcusable efforts to smear her daughter's memory by a man who may be her biological father, but was never a real father to her in her lifetime.
Bam.
She noted that her hair analysis is typically not used as evidence unless it is supported by blood and tissue tests, which Bartoletti did not have done, and which the coroner didn't see fit to have done for heavy metal poisoning. She also brought up the possibility that toxic mold found in the house could have contributed to the deaths of her daughter and her son-in-law. And she also wanted to point out that Angelo had formed the Brittany Murphy Foundation as he saw fit to carry out her memory. And like everything else Angelo and his collaborator have done, this is calculated to make them money and bring them fame they desperately crave.
Yeah, I mean, I can see the point on that, too, because I know what they were saying with, you know, whatever people on the internet were saying about, like, the buildup could have been caused by, you know, like hair dye and things like that, which it's not even just that. It can be just walking around. Your hair follicles and shit will pick up things in your environment that are airborne that will actually attach themselves and everything. So you can't always judge it just solely on a hair analysis. That's why it usually has to be backed up by tissue analysis to see what's actually in the tissues. versus what's just in the hair, because it could have just picked up something that was airborne.
Sharon has insisted. She's all right. So I guess Angela at one point in time wanted to make a documentary about all of this. And she was like, no, girl, no, you're not fucking doing a documentary on my daughter. Like, who the fuck are you? You came back into this girl's life after she died. And now all of a sudden you're like the fucking advocate. No, no, girl, no. I have a quote. This is Sharon Murphy, mother of Brittany Murphy, to Angela. It is time. Yes, it is time for those who really knew and loved her to put those who want to exploit her on notice. Your lies will no longer be tolerated, and as long as I live, I will continue to be exposed. I don't know what that last line meant, but that's what she said.
Interesting. I feel like that's like a, I will continue to have my boobs out. Sorry.
Sorry, Sharon. All right. This leads me into the deeper, darker Hollywood conspiracy, and you can take it as you please. So are you ready for this? This is like the stuff that this podcast has made up.
I'm so ready. Like, dip it low, dive in head first. Like, let's just get into this.
All right. So are you familiar with the rantings of Randy and Evie Quaid? Estranged from the United States, living in Canada, and on the lam from Star Whackers? You know who Randy Quaid is, though, right?
Oh, I know who Randy Quaid is. Don't you get me wrong. I know who he is. Okay. Let's see. He was, what, the cousin in the, like, Vacation movies or whatever?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he was also in Bye Bye Love. I loved him in that. He was really good in that, I got to say.
Beloved actor for many, many years. Did a string of appearances over the years.
And the punchline of many a joke, especially on, like, Family Guy and American Dad and shit.
The last time he appeared in a movie was in 2009. Suspiciously right around the time of Brittany Murphy's death. So following Randy Quaid's last film appearance in 2009, the trouble began in September of that year when Quaid and his wife were arrested in Texas. They left a hotel in California with an outstanding tab of around $10,000 on their room. Further investigation revealed that they had numerous unpaid hotel bills around the country since then. A year goes by, they were arrested again, this time for squatting in the guest house of a home they'd owned some years ago. So they went back to like a house they filed.
Shit.
They owned years ago and lived in there. Various court dates for both arrests were set and missed, and well into six figures of bail money was forfeited. The first case was eventually dismissed against Randy for lack of evidence, while Evie was sentenced to 240 hours of community service. 4 days after words were issued for the arrest over the second, the Quaids popped up in Canada just out of the clutches of U.S. enforcement. Hold on. So what, like, you're like, what does this have to do with Brittany Murphy's death is what you're probably asking, right?
Well, yeah, I'm very intrigued because I didn't actually get this far when I was doing my, like, pre-record skim through your notes.
All right, so this is where things become complicated. So the Quaids, they allegedly have fled to Canada to avoid various criminal charges, obviously, but they also claim to be on the run for what they called Hollywood Star Whackers.
Star Whackers. What the fuck?
A shadowy cabal engineering the deaths and disgrace of Hollywood celebrities in order to somehow embezzle their royalties or life insurance.
What?
All right, so I have a quote from our friend Randy.
Okay.
I've had friends of mine who have either died mysteriously or had scandals surrounding them in recent years, Quaid said in 2010, before explaining that the Star Whackers involves manipulating the banking and criminal justice systems from within. A scandal or a mystery around a celebrity that discredits them. So according to the Quaids, Heath Ledger, David Carradine, and Chris Penn were three such victims, and they were convinced that they, along with Britney Spears and Lindsay Lohan, were next on the list. And this kind of, like, lines up with that time where we were really getting, like, Britney and, like, Lindsay being, like, shunned from Hollywood. So it was, like, timing was right.
Yeah, that does line up with, and it even lines up with the like, South Park episode where they did Britney Spears. It was almost like a Stephen King novel where they were like, well, we always pick one Hollywood celebrity and we have to kill them with the publicity and everything, and then everything is right in the world and she was the one next. And that was the one where she, like, shot herself in the face and half of her head was missing, but she survived and she's, like, just gurgling and stuff on stage. So terrible. But it lines up with all that, like where they were talking about that, which is kind of funny because it plays off of that whole conspiracy theory.
So some articles have linked Brittany Murphy's death to the ramblings of Randy Quaid. She was a big star around this time, although slowly faded from Hollywood, but still well known nonetheless. Mm-hmm. But hold on. Ooh. This possibly goes even deeper. This might even go even deeper. Some theories suggest that Harvey Weinstein, notorious film mogul, has an army of spies he hired to stop accusers from going public with sexual misconduct. We're familiar. Do you remember the Salma Hayek story when she came out and she said that Weinstein told her, "I'll kill you. Don't think I can." Like if she ever like tried to go forward with her allegations.
That does ring a bell. Yes. Yeah.
So many said that this was like an empty threat from Weinstein. However, did he know these threats from experience is like the new conspiracy. Like, did he whack Brittany Murphy?
Right. And it makes you curious, too, because her husband died not much later in the grand scheme of things, like from the same thing. Was there a greater conspiracy? Like, she died because of something, and then her husband, who had inside knowledge because of, you know, marital conversations and whatever, and specifically said, "Hey, I'm going to, you know, out this whole thing," and then he all of a sudden fucking dies.
So there is pictorial evidence which links Weinstein and Murphy together. There's like a really weird picture of them like canoodling. He's kind of like kissing her and she looks like really awkward in it.
Mm-hmm.
And there were theories suggesting that her and her husband may like have just been on the cusp of intending to do or say something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe just one of them. And that was enough to just piss him off. Is this why Weinstein was so confident threatening Salma Hayek by saying he could kill her? Like, as if he's done it before.
Yeah, with Brittany and her husband.
Or other celebrities.
Right, you never know. Like, whatever. I honestly, when you brought up the whole Heath Ledger thing, when you first texted me and you were like, "We're doing Brittany Murphy today," I was like, "Oh, we have to link that to Heath Ledger because there's so much of the similar conspiracy shit around his death that there was about hers."
Yes, and that's a separate whole episode, but we'll get to the cusp of it at least.
Exactly. Like, we have to at least mention it. Like, I'm sure the people that actually like us and listen to the whole episodes would be upset if we didn't, you know, at least mention the fact that there is a relation there. Like, there's a correlation between the two deaths, and there's some type of link, at least that shows similarity or, you know, conspiracy in general regarding the two deaths. Or in this case, really the three, because even though he wasn't in the public eye, Brittany Murphy's husband befell the same fate. So I feel like it's all kind of linked. And even for that matter, you could link in Michael Jackson, which I know that's kind of a taboo topic right now, but there was a lot of sketchiness around his death and, you know, like being drugged and whatever, too.
The whole propofol thing.
Yeah, like just everything.
The doctor.
Yeah, that doctor seemed pretty sketchy around the time and like just everything. There's so many.
Do you think the doctor was hired by the accusers of like taken out MJ? Who knows? We'll save that for a future episode.
That's going to be a future episode, definitely. I mean, that could be a two-parter, in all honesty. Like, let's be real. There's a lot of... Yes, exactly. There's a lot of conspiracy regarding Michael Jackson. And I kind of... I have to blame his dad. In the grand scheme of things, his dad kind of fucked him over from the beginning.
Blame it on the boogie.
Yeah, but that's a whole other, at least one episode. And you'll, I'm sure, bring out your Michael Jackson voice, which I know creeps out Kat, but I fucking love. So back to Brittany Murphy.
All right. So I think we laid out the facts. We laid out some of the mumblings in Hollywood, so to say.
Yep.
I would like to know, what is your take, Jill Buck? What is your take on the mysterious passing of gal pal Brittany Murphy? Gal pal for sure.
I gotta say, there's a lot of mystery here. There is a strong potential for conspiracy because there wasn't a lot of definitive information provided to the public. And there are several like theories that were provided to the public. So it's so ripe for conspiracy there. But I gotta say, the public is probably never going to know the truth.
No, I feel like we're being led down like wrong, like avenues on purpose. Like they're giving us multiple avenues.
I totally agree. Especially because you got to think the more her name is like out there in on the web and like in the various conspiracies, it's got to bring in extra dollars for various movies and things that she was in, because it puts her up in the popularity, like her name comes up in popularity. So you got to think probably increasing like monetary value of other things, like past movies she was in, even the ones that say didn't have the big box office value.
Like Freeway, like shout out to Freeway.
Right, exactly. Like they're getting talked about. So, hey, royalties are going up for other actors and the people that created those movies or TV shows or anything that she was involved in. So there is a certain level of, you know, why Hollywood and such could see a value in promoting various conspiracies and just like egging it on. When it could have just been, it could have just been a really unfortunate circumstance.
So you think that it's just like a shitty circumstance, and this is just like the Hollywood hype machine just creating all these?
I'm just saying that that's
for us.
I'm just saying that that's a strong possibility. Just knowing the greed inherent in just everything about Hollywood. That is a strong possibility. I'm not saying it's a definitive truth. I'm saying that there is strong potentials for a lot of these avenues, but that seems like a very valid option in my mind, that it could all just be like, yeah, it was a shitty circumstance, like shitty circumstance because of what she and her husband were doing recreationally, unknown to the public, and that's why they both died from the same thing, because they were both doing the same things. But Hollywood can capitalize on if there's conspiracies going around that keep bringing up her name and making it more popular. I think that's a valid point. I don't think it's necessarily the definitive. I think there's validity to each potential, you know, thing that's been brought up, like even what the Quaids are saying. There's some level of validity to that. I mean, I know Randy Quaid is viewed as like fucking psychotic and they're out there, but a lot of people are viewed that way when they're bringing up conspiracies, even if it's something that is actually valid. I know I'm kind of going into the X-Files here, you know, Mulder and shit, like he's actually bringing up the truth, but he's just being shown as a kook. So I think there's a lot of validity to a lot of it. Anyway.
A part of me likes to believe, because I'm just like, what? Why all of a sudden out of nowhere is like Randy Quaid a kook? Like, where did this come from?
Well, I think that just came from Hollywood in general, like classifying him as a kook. I mean, have you ever, you've seen the American Dad episode, right? Where you know, they see him, he's in like a little hovel under, like right next to the big mansion, and he's like, y'all get some water, I need to get some pills in me or something. And then like the Japanese kid is like, I went back later to get, like, which is all in subtitles, but I went back later to give Randy Quaid some water, but he was dead. So there's like that whole aspect of it, of just like joking about Randy Quaid's a like lesser person and kind of a kook or something, you know.
I don't know. A small part of me, a piece of me, to quote Britney Spears, feels that there might be some truth to Randy Quaid's ramblings. Like, all right, like a lot of it is probably like nonsense and hearsay, but he's been in the Hollywood machine. He's been in the Hollywood machine. He lived it. He's been in major motion pictures. He got like pushed aside, got like brushed aside. However, he saw enough. He had seen enough around the time of Heath Ledger's death. Like he was kind of like the boy toy. They were like grooming him to be like the next hot thing. But he didn't really go that way. Like he didn't go the way that they want him to go. He kind of was doing some like darker roles and stuff and things that aren't typical of the Hollywood type. So I don't know. Like, were they just like, all right, we need to like get him out of here? And maybe he stumbled onto something that he shouldn't have known. And they took an opportunity. They saw an opportunity and took it.
I totally agree with you in that point. I mean, honestly, look at Randy Quaid. He's not a bad actor. He's really good. If you've ever seen him in some of the things that aren't the fucking Vacation movies, because he is portrayed as this like hillbilly hick, and that's the role he had, and he played it well. I mean, the main one that keeps popping into mind is Bye Bye Love. It's a completely fucking different role from Hollywood, the holiday movies. And he did amazing in it. Honestly, that's my favorite role I've ever seen him in, because it's such a more genuine role. He's a great actor. And I know people that like go into Hollywood and they get that great acting vibe and they fucking tweak and go crazy. And that is a thing. That's a thing. I am acknowledging it. People like just lose it because they've gotten some fame. But he went for some more serious roles, and that's when he fucking disappeared. And it was like he got onto something, or he started getting into more serious roles and got some more truth.
He was the moneymaker, and then he was like, oh, like I'm starting to see like how Hollywood really works.
Yeah, especially because he was alongside some big moneymakers at the time. Like, I mean, in Bye Bye Love, he was alongside what's his name? Paul Reiser from Mad About You.
Second fiddle.
Right. He was second fiddle to Chevy Chase, who was a huge moneymaker at the time. Like, you got to think he was probably brought, not to mention he's in the Quaid family. Like, seriously, Dennis Quaid and shit. He's seen some things in Hollywood that the average, like the lower tier celebrities might not have seen. So maybe he did, maybe he had a higher moral compass and was bringing that to light, and that's what got him kind of shunned and whatever. And the Heath Ledger thing, I gotta say, I totally see where you're going with that, where he took some darker roles. He took the Joker role and he went all out on that. That was very dark, and it was very different from other things that he had been very popular in, say 10 Things I Hate About You, which was very like bubblegum poppy, like, you know, mainstream upbeat rom-com.
So there was that movie he did, like, that The Imaginarium of,
yes, which I gotta say, unfortunately, I've never actually seen. It is on my watch list on Netflix, because it is on Netflix, by the way, on the streaming version. And it's on my queue to watch, and that's probably another one I'm going to watch while Jay's at work, because he's already seen it, is really why. It's not that he doesn't want to see it, it's that he's already seen it, so I'm probably going to watch it while he's at work. But that's the one that he died during, from what I've seen of, like, the trailers and stuff. That is a fucking dark movie.
Yeah, he took like, a complete left. Like, he took a left-hand turn.
He did.
On Hollywood. He's like, I'm not doing A Knight's Tale anymore. I'm not being in these, like, quirky movies. Like, I'm gonna be taken serious.
Yeah, he's not gonna be the boy toy, the, like, one that everybody's, like, all the young girls are, like, ah! Screaming over in, you know, in the theaters. He didn't want to do the rom-coms and shit anymore. He wanted to get into more serious acting roles, and that's not what was desired of him.
I don't know. Like, a part of me still thinks Sinister is a foul. There's definitely a shadowy figure. It might not be any of the things that we aforementioned, but there's something at play. I don't think it's coincidence that Brittany Murphy and her husband died of the same, like, circumstances within less than 6 months of each other.
Mm-hmm. I got to agree with you. That in and of itself says something sketchy going on. Whether it was, who knows? It could have been something legitimate, like the fact that they maybe had some sketchy off-scene behavior, like that wasn't publicized. Maybe they were doing some serious drugs together. Like, maybe that's what attracted her to him. Okay, that could be a thing. Or maybe it was the mold thing. Like, there's legitimate things that could have been linked to why they both died in a short time frame with the same cause of death listed. It seems very suspect to me that there wasn't something specific nailed down to the cause of the both causes of death were the same thing, and okay, we need to backtrack and find out what was going on there. And there isn't anything definitive because of all the scandal surrounding it. There's a lot of question.
I think we should chalk it up as we need to know more. This is pending. This is,
I agree.
We're gonna chalk this case up as pending. Patent pending. We need to know more. All
right. I agree. All right. You know what, though, Patrick? I really think we didn't even delve into one of the biggest possible causes, especially with those heavy metals in the system, in the hairs, especially in the hairs.
It's pouring down on us.
I really think this could be a bigger thing than we're even, like, alluding to.
Are you saying? Are you hinting?
I'm hinting at what our next episode is going to be. And I think we're going to have to really delve into this Brittany Murphy death even more in our next episode, because I think the real cause of death could be above us in the skies.
Are you sitting down, audience? Are you sitting down right now? Because I think next week we're going to get into it.
Yep.
Chemtrails? Are you thinking, I'm thinking chemtrails?
I am totally on the same wavelength as you. Ugh. Chemtrails all the way. I really think.
All the way May.
Oh, yeah. All the way May. Definitely. Gal pal. I really think this could be where we find the definitive cause of death for Brittany Murphy. It really just could have been chemtrails. I mean, that could be the answer to everything.
Heavy metal in the sky.
And you know what? We are going to, like, get balls deep in it next week.
Okay.
The next week.
All the way in. All the way in.
All the way in. Fucking bury it, man.
Fucking pressing the cervix.
Oh my God, that's so wrong.
Join us next week when we talk about chemtrails, because we're finally going to do it. We're ready, girl. We're ready.
Oh yeah, we are ready.
And I'm going to go clear my nose, and then I'm going to get ready to talk about chemtrails. So
fuck yes. Blow those chemtrails out of your nose so we can talk about them.
I got all that barium in my nose. Till next time, girl.
Deuces!
Deuces.